Saturday, November 26th, our guests had breakfast in their room, Senator Dirksen and Senator Mansfield and Maureen, Congressman George Mahon. But we met in the dining room later, sitting by the big picture window looking out at the fields, for another and yet another cup of coffee. George Mahon was the first to leave, flying back to Lubbock, and Senator Dirksen and the Mansfields, who were going to Florida, lingered and talked with Lyndon. I find myself so easy around Senator Dirksen. The fact that he is the leader of the opposition party is no abrasive element to our friendship. I hope he lasts as long as we do in that position. In the course of that talk, Lyndon made a very arresting statement. "When I drop dead, I want you all to remember this. The thing I am most afraid of is the influence of communism on controlling public opinion on the communications of this country." Maureen was shocked. It was a very uncomfortable thing to hear. She said, "Do you mean that?" Mike, no surprise, did not commit himself. It was a little past 11 when they left for Florida, and I at once set out in the car for Johnson City for my appointment with my restoration friends. At Lyndon's boyhood home, I met Roy White and Mrs. Hudspeth and a research man whose name I cannot remember from the university, and Mrs. Charles Bybee, who is something of an authority on restorations in Texas, having worked on 14 old houses herself of the periods from about 1840 to 1880. We drove to the old fort site. I had Mrs. Bybee with me, and I described our plans for the place. The landscape architect from A&M had laid out the road. Hoped to have an arched bridge over the little creek. Hoped sometime to clear the creek out and have a free-flowing stream, and eventually picnic tables and benches under the pecan trees by it, and meadows of bluebonnets. But first we must clear it, of course. But then our objectives were the old stone buildings, the one that may have been a barn or a commissary or a fort or a combination, and the smaller one whose purpose is unknown to me, at least. I think in later years it's been used as a smokehouse. Mrs. Bybee's interest and knowledge was a delight to see. I remember the phrase one of the curators from Williamsburg had used: "An old building will tell its own story." And indeed, with a little interpretation by her, it did. She pointed out a line about 8 feet up, where the texture and color of the stone changed markedly. Below, it looked like it had been cut with a chisel, and above, the stones had a sawed look, and even the mortar was different. So apparently, at one time, this structure was about 8 feet high, and then some later owner decided that he needed another 4 feet, perhaps for a loft to sleep the cowboys, or to store the hay, who knows. But at any rate, it had undergone this change in the years, and on the inside there was further vindication. At the 8-foot height, perfect holes on each side in which timbers had been inserted to form the supports for the roof, a whole line of them all across. There was a rickety ladder to the loft, and in her high heels and city clothes, Mrs. Bybee climbed the ladder, pointing out with interest architectural details, which I could see as soon as it was my turn to climb the ladder. Mrs. Hudspeth said that the university would be glad to furnish some research on the old place. We talked about methods. The county courthouse, alas, it had burned in 1879 or thereabouts, with all the records. Interviews of pictures from old-timers in the community. Files of the newspapers, and Dean T.U. Taylor's book on early Texas, as well as a scattering of others, including John Morrison's History of Blanco County. At any rate, research is starting on this small project. Lunchtime finally drove us home, and Lyndon met us at the birthplace, and we showed Mrs. Bybee what we had done there, and I never had a more interested audience. And very pleasantly, she applauded our work. We went home for lunch, joined by Lucy and Pat. We had the James Montaleros as their guests. They're staying at the Lewis place, cooking their breakfast there and coming over for lunch and dinner. Marie and Mary and Jake and Bill Moyers. Mrs. Bybee has been working at this for 20 or so years, knows the people at Williamsburg and at Winnetour, and even more importantly, follows the restoration with her workmen from the very beginning, going to the woods to find the right tree, getting it sawed and aged, and if there are no tools on the market like they used in the 1840s or 50s, getting them designed and made. I felt like we'd launched an exciting new project. Lyndon brought out his Korean robes and gave one to Lucy and to me. We put them on. Mine was deep cherry red. He loves to give gifts, and he loves to have them modeled immediately and see that the receiver is really happy. I spent the afternoon at the beauty parlor, and then came home to hear that we planned to go to the West Ranch for dinner. But these days, a night out for us, which is so rare. Seldom means a real night off. For Mary and James, what a big household we are. We helicoptered over. The Krims and the Morsons and Mary Ellen's cute sister Claudine and Mrs. Krim's father, Mr. Gallant, were there, and it was a typical West dinner, which is delicious and enormous. And happily, I felt enough at home to slip off and watch Gunsmoke afterwards.